In today's news headlines, President Donald Trump has remained silent on Twitter and to the press in the hours following the news of his former attorney, Michael Cohen, being sentenced to 3 years in prison. Then on Thursday morning, he tweeted three times about it. He said, "I never directed Michael Cohen to break the law. He was a lawyer and he's supposed to know the law. It's called advice of counsel, and a lawyer has great liability if a mistake is made." A White House official on condition of anonymity told CNN that privately, Trump said about Cohen, he's a liar. Trump is increasingly isolated as one after another of his former colleagues and associates is charged, convicted, and sentenced in investigations linked to the special counsel. On Wednesday, the news broke that American Media Inc., which owns the National Enquirer, admitted to paying a woman named Karen McDougal $15,000 ahead of the 2016 election to buy her silence over an affair with Trump. AMI is run by David Pecker, a close associate of Trump. The news of the admission came from federal prosecutors' court filings saying that they would not prosecute AMI in exchange for cooperation in the investigation. Pecker and Cohen had a meeting in 2015, and as the court filing explains, at the meeting, Pecker offered to help deal with negative stories about that presidential candidate's relationships with women by, among other things, assisting the campaign in identifying such stories so they could be purchased and their publication avoided. Pecker agreed to keep Cohen apprised of any such negative stories. Any money spent on the purposes of influencing an election must be declared as a campaign contribution as per federal election law. Meanwhile, Russian national Maria Butina, who has been in U.S. custody in relation to charges filed by the special counsel, is expected to file a guilty plea on Thursday. According to CNN, the 30-year-old Russian national initially pleaded not guilty to charges of conspiracy and acting as a foreign agent after prosecutors accused her of infiltrating political groups like the National Rifle Association to bolster Russian interests. But on Thursday morning, Butina is slated to appear in D.C. federal court to plead guilty to conspiracy as part of a deal with prosecutors. In other news, the U.S. Senate is expected to cast a critical vote on U.S. support for the Yemen war on Thursday. On Wednesday, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders made an impassioned plea for the bill on the floor of the Senate next to a picture of a starving Yemeni child. Here is a social media edit of part of his speech.
That the United States, with very little media attention, has been Saudi Arabia's partner in this horrific war. We have been providing the bombs the Saudi-led coalition is using, refueling their planes before they drop those bombs, and assisting with intelligence. In too many cases, our weapons are being used to kill civilians. A 2016 State Department report found that the conflict has helped Al-Qaeda and ISIS deepen their inroads across much of the country. It is the promise of unconditional U.S. support for the Saudis that has undermined the efforts toward peace.
That's Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders speaking on the floor of the Senate about the Yemen resolution. He also appeared on Fox News to make his case.
It's enormously important. I think It's vital that everybody in America understand that what's going on in Yemen now, Brett, is the worst humanitarian disaster facing this planet. We're talking about in the last 3 years as a result of the Saudi-led intervention in the Yemen civil war. We're talking about 85,000 children already starved to death. We're talking about imminent starvation for millions more. We're talking about 10,000 cases of cholera breaking out every single week. We're talking about a generation of Yemen's children who will be stunted physically and intellectually because of the famine that is now existing. So we have got to end that. Furthermore, I think we have got to say to the Saudi government, which is a despotic government, which allows no dissent, which treats women as third-class citizens, that we are not going to follow their military adventurism into Yemen. And the last point as to why it's so important, and people like Senator Mike Lee, conservatives have been making this point, and progressives, is that for decades, under Republican presidents and Democratic presidents, Republican Congresses, Democratic Congresses, the Congress of the United States has abdicated its constitutional responsibility over warmaking. It is not the president who has the responsibility under the Constitution to send our troops off to war. It is Congress. Yeah. We have got to take it back.
That's Bernie Sanders on Fox News making his case for the Senate to stop U.S. participation in the Saudi-led war on Yemen. In the House of Representatives, lawmakers voted to prevent any resolutions that use the War Powers Act regarding the Yemen war for the rest of the year. Five Democrats joined Republicans in passing that vote. The rule was tucked into the Farm Bill. And in fact, the Farm Bill now heads to the president's desk for a signature, having made it past the House and Senate this week. The bill had bipartisan support in both houses of Congress. The must-pass legislation occurs every 5 years and covers a vast set of policies, from farming and energy use to nutrition and food stamps, conservation and forestry. The bill was passed after months of negotiation, during which steep cuts to the food stamp program pushed by Trump and many of his allies failed to make it into the final version. The U.S. Senate also passed a bill on Wednesday that overturned a policy allowing nonprofit organizations to limit disclosure of their donors. The IRS policy, which had been in place under Trump's White House, was reversed by a vote of 50 to 49. Republican Senator Susan Collins broke ranks with her party to join all Democrats in passing it. Under the Congressional Review Act, the Senate only needs a simple majority to overturn a government agency rule. Democratic Senator Ron Wyden said ahead of the vote, "The Trump administration's dark money rule makes it easier for foreigners and special interests to corrupt and interfere in our elections." It is not likely that the House will take up the measure, though. A new study by the Center for Health and Gender Equity has found that under the Trump administration, the U.S. government has worsened its record on reproductive rights abroad. The Sexual and Reproductive Health and Rights Index grades the White House, Congress, the U.S. State Department, the U.S. Agency for International Development, and a number of other federal agencies for how well they promote good sexual and reproductive rights around the world. Under Trump, overall grades have declined. China is reported to have arrested a Canadian national in apparent retaliation for the arrest of one of its telecom company executives, Meng Wanzhou, chief financial officer of Huawei. Meng is expected to be extradited to the U.S. over alleged sanctions violations. Now a Canadian man named Michael Spavor, director of the PAC-2 Cultural Exchange, is missing while in China and is feared to be in detention. If true, it would be the second Canadian that China is detaining in apparent retaliation for Meng's arrest. British Prime Minister Theresa May survived a vote of no confidence by her parliament on Wednesday. The vote centers on her handling of the Brexit deal with the European Union. According to the BBC, after securing 63% of the total vote, she is now immune from a leadership challenge for a year. Conservative MPs who voted against her are calling on her to resign nonetheless. And that does it for our headlines today.